Hello and welcome to Click Sports with Jeff. I'm sorry I wasn't on last week. I was sick. I gave myself a little bit of food poisoning, which is kind of embarrassing, but it happened and it's over now, and now I'm back on, and that's really what matters. And while I was sick, the second day I was sick, one of the most awesome parts of the year got underway. That's the NFL draft. Right now, it's the only really connection we have to NFL football, so we have to really enjoy it. Because even though it looked like the draft was gonna be like the resuming of football operations, because the federal judge in Minneapolis ruled in favor of the players that the lockout was unjust and canceled it. The owners just went down to St. Louis, and they appealed in the St. Louis court and got it reinstated because they think having the players not being able to work out at team facilities and rookies not being able to get their playbooks and not being able to really meet... Well, they get to meet with their team, but not being able to meet with the coaches or the owners. And, I mean, I just don't see how the owners can honestly see that this is a just thing to do for the players. And it's not fair to the fans either. I don't get why the owners need more money. I mean, they bought these multi-million dollar teams. I mean, these teams, when they bought them, probably cost around $500,000 up. Half $1 billion, like $500 million. That's what I mean. So the fact that they can't agree with the players that the players deserve the money, and the players, well, not even just the money, but the players deserve to play, and they do. They can't agree to drop the 18-game schedule, which is a bad idea. All an 18-game schedule is going to do is cause more injuries and cause more concussions, and it'd be really bad for football. I am completely against the moving of the schedule to 18 games. I mean, I don't like the preseason. No one does. But having two more regular season games is just bad. It's bad for players. It'll end up getting people's favorite players hurt, and you're going to end up playing with more backups when it really counts. And that's not something that is good. That is horrible. And then the owners don't need another $1 billion off the top of the $9 billion that the NFL makes in revenue every year. The owners have enough money. I mean, they bought these $500 million teams. They really... And then they make a ton of money from them anyways. They don't need any more money off the top of the NFL revenue. That money should go to the players. It should pay for healthcare for players for retired players, and healthcare of players who are still playing when they're hurt. And I mean, it should honestly go more towards the teams. I mean, if there's more money with the players, stadiums will be better. Not that the stadiums aren't already good, because the stadiums are awesome. So the stadiums, I mean, even as awesome as they are, they'll get better. And, I mean, the fields will get better. The overall experience in the NFL will be a lot better if the players win this lockout, which they should. I don't know if they will. I just believe that they should. Now, going back to what I was originally talking about before that, which was the NFL draft, I was impressed with this draft. It was a very good draft. It was a weird draft, though. It's weird in the fact that the players they can't get signed. Teams couldn't fill any needs through free agency. And then the fact that it looked like the lockout was going to end and then it didn't. I hate that players can't get signed, because that leaves out all these undrafted free agents. Players like Mark Herzlick, the linebacker from Boston College, who overcame cancer and had a great year last year. If there's anyone who deserves to get drafted, it's him. There was one player who had overcome lymphoma non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I believe. I can't remember who that was, because, I mean, there were 254 players selected. But the fact that Mark Herzlich, who was the ACC Defensive Player of the year before he got cancer, and then came back and had a solid season once the cancer was gone, that leaves me believing that this is, that he should be drafted. I mean, come on, the guy overcame cancer, came back on a solid year. There's no one in the draft who deserves to be drafted more than him, and yet he goes through all 254 picks, and the phone never rings. And now he can't even sign with a team. What happens most years when there's not a lockout and there is a collective bargaining agreement is that the 254 players get selected, but then during like the 6th and 7th rounds, teams are on the phone with players saying, hey, we're not sure that we'll be able to fit you into our last couple picks because we kind of have a couple players selected in those spots if they're there. If we don't get them, I mean, we'll probably draft you, but if we don't end up drafting you, we'd love to sign you and bring you into our rookie minicamp and see, and into our fall minicamp too, and see if you can make this team. Because, well, I mean, these are players who have spent their whole lives lifting weights, getting faster, getting quicker, playing football probably ever since, for some people, since second grade if they played Pop Warner. So they've spent their almost their whole entire lives playing this awesome game. And, I mean, it sucks that they don't get drafted, but, I mean, at least they get their chance through the undrafted free agency and getting signed by teams. But with this no collective bargaining agreement lockout situation, that leaves so many players, including some CSU players, because I don't believe any got drafted. I'll check that when I take a break. But I don't believe that any CSU players got drafted. The only one that really was in consideration was Zach Pauga, the fullback from CSU. And, I mean, I feel horrible for these guys because now their lives are completely in jeopardy. Because it could be a whole year before the owners find, or someone, owners or players, finally decides to cave and let the other side win. I really hope the owners cave. I really do. I went into that, blah, blah, blah. I hope the owners cave. But I hate that all these players are sitting here. After they're done with college, they probably have fast food jobs or something. I mean, they have to have a way to find money. There's no way that players of this caliber should be waiting tables or really working a desk job to do this. I just hate it. It sucks. These players deserve to get their chance to make a team, and I really feel it's the owners are not giving them a chance because the owners will not cave on anything. The owners are just destroying the game of football. I hate it. It's horrible. I can't stand it. And it just sucks. It really does. And I really want players like Mark Herzlich and Zach Pauga and all these other guys who have worked their asses off to get drafted and then not get drafted. I want them to get their chance in the NFL. And, I mean, it's now they really don't get to. So hopefully someday, very, very soon, there will be a new CBA, and the owners hopefully will have been the ones who caved, and these players and all the other free agents, all the veteran free agents, will be able to sign. Because there's all those guys who are out of jobs too, and that sucks. So hopefully that'll all get resolved soon, and football will go on, and hopefully we will have a season this year. Right now, I'm not completely sure that there will be. I felt really optimistic after hearing that the judge in Minneapolis ended the lockout, and I was feeling really optimistic when that ended, or when that happened, I mean. And I was happy. And then the next day I turned it on in the middle of the second round, and it's already been overturned by a court in some other city. I mean, you gotta be kidding me. Just let the players play. This is a simple fundamental fact, and I hate that they don't get to play. But now I'm gonna go on. I'm gonna dissect the draft, give who I thought had the best draft. I'm gonna admit that the Broncos did have a good draft. I don't think that they had the best draft, but they had a very good draft. I mean, that's hard for me to admit because I'm not a big fan of the Broncos, so I don't really like admitting that they do good in anything. So I don't think they had the best draft. They definitely had a top five draft. But the team, in my mind, that had the best draft, and this was pretty much, they only had five picks in the draft, and their top three picks completely made their draft. The team with the best draft, and a team that I would kind of fear to play when NFL play resumes, is the Detroit Lions. And here's why I would fear the Detroit Lions. That defensive line. Not only did they get Ndamukong Suh with the second overall pick in last year's draft, this year they go and they get Nick Fairley at number 13 overall. Anyone who is a college football fan can remember how much terror Nick Fairley caused on the defensive side of the ball for the national champion Auburn Tigers. Now, his national championship game was crazy. The Ducks could not stop him, and the Ducks is Oregon, as everyone should know. But the Ducks could not stop Nick Fairley. Nick Fairley is more of a reason that the Tigers won the national championship game than Cam Newton, the number one overall pick. Nick Fairley was a huge steal at number 13. I thought he'd go higher because people would be looking back on that season he had last year at Auburn, which was amazing. And the Lions with Sue and Fairley in a 4-3 defense? That's pretty scary. I mean, imagine a couple years from now, they got Mikel Ashore, number 57 overall in the second round, who is a great complement to Jahvid Best. Mikel Ashore is a running back from Illinois, and he's more of a power runner, where Jahvid Best is more of a finesse runner. And so Mikel Ashore is a perfect complement to Jahvid Best, and that makes their receiving core also really amazing. Then, also in the second round, at number 44 overall, the Lions drafted Titus Young, the wide receiver from Boise State. And as anyone who's a college football fan should know, Boise State has been one of the best teams in the league. Not in the league, wow. In the country. Ever since that Fiesta Bowl win over Oklahoma, they've gained so much confidence, and they've become such a good team. So now the Lions have Titus Young and Calvin Johnson as probably their top two receivers. And then if Matthew Stafford can stay healthy, he's had some issues with that. He's had a couple shoulder issues over the last couple years and something else with his arm. I mean, he's had a lot of issues with his upper body. He's been injured the past couple years. If he can stay healthy, Matthew Stafford's a great quarterback. He went really high a couple years ago. He's out of Georgia. When he had a great career at Georgia. And, I mean, with all the tools that the Lions now have, they could be a playoff team this year. I don't think they will be. I mean, they kind of have a hard division. They got Chicago, they got Minnesota, and they got Green Bay. So they have a hard division. So it's going to be kind of hard for the Lions to make the playoffs this year. But I definitely think they're only a year or two away from making the playoffs. Because, I mean, their draft this year made them that much better. I mean, it was awesome just seeing this. Just seeing how good they were. And now there's Denver. Denver, also had a very good draft. Obviously, you can't start off bad when you have the number 2 overall pick and you get Von Miller, the linebacker out of Texas A&M. And I'm not sure if he's going to translate into Denver's defense, which is a 3-4, and he's a 4-3 linebacker. I mean, so I don't know how easy that transition will be, but I think he'll do. I think he can do it. I'm just not sure if he will. I mean, I think it might take him a year or two before he's actually a force to be reckoned with on Denver's defense, but I think he's going to hugely help out Denver's defense. They also got, at the number 45 overall pick, they got a safety out of UCLA, Raheem Moore, who was, I mean, UCLA wasn't great this year, but they weren't bad, and he was a large part of the success they did have this year. But UCLA kind of got screwed by their conference. I mean, they had Stanford, USC, and Oregon, Washington, Arizona State, Arizona. I mean, all these schools, none of them are easy wins. So, I mean, they didn't have the best conference. And, I mean, now you could argue their conference is getting even better. Pac-12, they're adding Utah and Utah and CU. So, I mean, you could argue that it's getting even better. But the Broncos, they definitely did have a good draft. They had a lot of picks, actually. They traded for a few, but they had a lot of picks. Looks like about 9 picks. And, I mean, they got some solid players. Julius Thomas, the tight end out of Portland State. From what I heard, he only played 1 year of football at Portland State. So I'm kind of surprised that they went and grabbed him. That kind of seems like a reach. I mean, it's just 1 year of football at Portland State, which isn't even a perennial Division II program, doesn't seem like he deserves to be a fourth round pick. I think there's definitely a better tight end in the draft that they could have picked. I mean, I can't think back who else they would have picked. I mean, the fourth round was last Saturday, so I mean, they could have picked someone better, but I kind of hope he develops, because he's an athletic kid. He definitely looks like a football player. So, I mean, he could develop into a really good pass catcher and a good blocker for the Broncos. So, I mean, you never really know with that. But, I mean, if he does go wrong, they did draft the tight end out of Nevada, Virgil Green. So, I mean, they have a backup plan, which is good. Now, a team that had a bad draft, and this one's hard for me to say, but the New England Patriots had a horrible draft. It was horrible. The one thing that New England needed was a pass rusher. They needed either a D-end or a linebacker who could come off the edge and be a threat. Guess what they don't even get? There were plenty of players there. Daquan Bowers was there on day 2. He went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers later, but he was there. And instead, the Patriots draft Rozai Dowling, a cornerback out of Virginia. I mean, sure, maybe he'll be a compliment to Devin McCourty. Devin McCourty had an amazing rookie season. But I really think when people like Daquan Bowers are still up on the board, you gotta draft him. I don't care if Daquan Bowers has knee issues. If he's there and you need a pass rusher, which we do, I say we because I'm a Patriots fan and every once in a while I loop myself in as if I'm actually a part of the team. I don't know why I do, but when there's a need for a pass rusher, you gotta draft one when there's no free agency. But they just let it pass them by. There were so many good players in this draft. Linebacker out of UCLA, Akeem Ayers, also was there day 2. The Patriots had the first pick in the second round, which was the first pick on day 2. Then they traded up for the 24th pick in the second round. There were still really good pass rushers out there. And they never draft one. There was no defensive end or linebacker drafted by the Patriots this year. They got some good tackles, though, some offensive tackles. They got Nate Solder out of Colorado, who is arguably the best tackle in the draft, and then Marcus Cannon out of TCU. And, I mean, TCU's finished number two in the nation, so obviously he's going to be good. He kept J.J. Watt in check during the Rose Bowl, and, I mean, that's hard to do. J.J. Watt, who went to the Houston Texans in the first round, I was actually hoping he'd fall to the Patriots and that they'd draft him. I was hoping he'd be the pass rusher that they draft, but he was taken before the Patriots could get to him by the Texans. J.J. Watt was one of the best defensive ends. I think he was actually ruled the best by an award, the best defensive end in the country this year. And the Patriots didn't even try. Well, not that they didn't try, but not for J.J. Watt, but they didn't even try to get a defensive end in the whole draft, which really, really, really ticked me off. I could not believe that they didn't even try to get one. They let Mark Ingram, because I guess there's a need at running back. I think Danny Woodhead's actually pretty good, but I guess there's a need at running back on the Patriots. But they let Mark Ingram slip through their fingers. Former Heisman Trophy winner. We traded out of the pick that he got picked in. So, I mean, it's annoying when you see your favorite team just not have a good draft. Sure, there's some solid players in there. Maybe they will develop. But I don't know if they will. Why the Patriots drafted Ryan Mallett, I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, he could eventually be Tom Brady's replacement. He's a solid backup for like 5, 6, 7 years until he's about 30 years old and never really played in the NFL before, and then he retires because Tom Brady just stays around because Tom Brady is Tom Brady, and that's what he'll do. I mean, Tom Brady has 6 or 7 good years left in him, and yet we drafted a quarterback in the third round at number 74 overall. There was no need for a quarterback to be taken by the Patriots. They don't need to develop the next Tom Brady for another few years. Maybe they felt like Mallett was just too good of a talent to let pass through their fingers. I mean, it boggles my mind that the Patriots would draft some of the players that they did, because their picks were just not. It was a bad draft. The one defensive end they did get was out of Central Arkansas, I guess. Central Arkansas, are you kidding me? There was Clemson. There was UCLA. There were good schools in there, and you drafted defensive end from Central Arkansas. I've never even heard of that school. I know Bill Belichick has his little draft plan, like his little strategy, but in this instance, I just do not understand Bill Belichick at all. I'd love to hear your picks on who you think had the best draft or the worst draft. So call into 1-888-212-KLIK, and that's 1-888-212-5545, and give me your opinion on who had the best draft. But now I'm going to take a break and play some music, and I hope you enjoy it. This is Click Sports with Jeff. Come on back.
Good music.
Click Radio.
I mean, good music.
.org.
Well, welcome back to Click Sports with Jeff, and now that I'm back and we're done talking NFL draft, unless you guys want to call in and tell me who you think had the best draft or the worst draft or even just your general thoughts on it, I'm gonna move on and talk about some NBA Finals. Or not NBA Finals, but the NBA Playoffs, because NBA Finals haven't happened yet. And actually, these series are... This is a good year for playoffs. Whatever sport you're watching, this is a great year. NHL, they're almost at the record for number of overtime games. That means it's a really good playoff year. I mean, it's the second round, and they're about to break the record for most overtime games in an NHL playoffs. There's already been 19. The record was 20. Well, is 20. And they're going to shatter that. I mean, if they're only in the second round, they're at 19. We're looking at some really, really good games. And from what I've seen so far of the NHL playoffs, it is really good. The only series that's really hasn't been fully contested is this Washington Capitals-Tampa Bay series. Tampa Bay has owned this series. Absolutely owned it. There's been some overtime games, but there's been overtime games in every series. But Tampa Bay has owned this series. This has been theirs the whole way. One of the things I heard on ESPN when this got slated as the series after the first round was over was that the Capitals were more looking to play the team that the Lightning beat, and I can't remember who that was, but I thought it was interesting that the analyst, and it was Barry Melrose, the most interesting analyst in the world. That's a great campaign that ESPN is running. And he thought that the Capitals were more preparing to play the team Tampa Bay beat rather than Tampa Bay. And he said that Tampa Bay was going to win this series and they were going to win it quick. And the fact that that's actually coming true is really surprising. Tampa Bay has outplayed the Capitals in every single game. And even if they did let the Capitals get back into it, they still won and winning the game. They're up 3-0 in the series. They're playing game 4 right now. They're in the second period and they're winning 3-2. So right now it's looking as if Tampa Bay will end up winning the series, sweeping Alex Ovechkin, excuse me, and the Capitals right out of the playoffs. And I think that's exciting because I thought the Capitals would go pretty far. They're a really good team, and they have been for the last few years, so I thought they'd be great. And the fact that they're not really surprises me. The series that's been really good, though, has been the Boston-Philadelphia series. And I believe every game in this series has gone to overtime so far. I'm not completely sure, but I'm 90% sure, which is, I mean, obviously that's a good percentage. I saw their last game, and their last game, Tim Thomas faced over 50 shots. He faced about 52 shots, and he stopped his last 48 shots. No, 46. He stopped his last 46 shots. He gave up 2 goals, and they were both in the first period. But after that, he was untouchable. And right now, it's looking as if he's pretty much being the same old Timmy Thomas. I mean, Boston's up 4-1 in Game 4. Or Game 3, actually. They're a game behind the Capitals series. And Boston is leading the series 2-0. And, I mean, I could definitely see them sweeping the Flyers straight out. Last year, the Flyers and the Bruins all had a great series, too. And Boston went up 3-0 in the series and actually ended up losing. They pulled a New York Yankees, losing after a 3-0 lead in a series. And the Flyers went on to the finals where they lost to the Blackhawks. And I don't think that will happen this year. I think Philadelphia will remember that that happened. But I think Boston will be more motivated not to let that happen than Philadelphia will be to... than Philadelphia will be to do it again. So, I definitely have Boston coming out of that series and Tampa Bay coming out of their series. The other two series that are really good right now, I mean, all the NHL playoff series are really good, is San Jose and Detroit. I don't know as much about these teams, but San Jose and Detroit are two of the perennial top teams in the Western Conference. Detroit, I don't like because I'm a Nats fan, and I'd rather be dead than red. And San Jose is a team my good friend Dan, he's a big fan of. And I think, I mean, they're great every year, obviously, because they're always like a number three or four, three to anywhere from 1-3. And I believe they're in the number 2 seed this year, and they're up 2-0 in their series, and they're up 1-0 in game 3. So I could definitely see... I don't think they'll sweep the Red Wings. That's a pretty hard thing to do with any Red Wings team. I think this one will go farther than either of the series in the Eastern Conference, in number of games at least. And I think San Jose will beat Detroit. I mean, they're a better team. Overall, they really are. And then Vancouver and Nashville is the last series because we're in the conference semifinals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And Vancouver is playing the Nashville Predators. And Vancouver's up 2-1 in their series. So they obviously won't sweep Nashville out. And I thought that Vancouver would definitely own this series because Vancouver is the number one overall seed and they've been great all year. The Canucks are awesome. I mean, with the Sedin twins, I mean, it's hard to not be awesome. They're two of the best hockey players that there are. And they'll probably come out of this series. I could see it going to seven games just from what I've seen so far. I could definitely see it going to seven games. And I think it'll be an awesome, awesome series. And I think Vancouver will come out. I think San Jose will upset Vancouver in the Western Conference Finals and go on to play Boston, who will beat Tampa Bay. Then I think Boston will go on to win the Stanley Cup. I really do. I think from what I've seen in Boston's team, I have been thoroughly impressed with. It has been awesome to see Boston do this good. Obviously, it'd be a lot better to see the Avs do this good. But we haven't seen that since 2001, which kind of sucks. But, oh well, I mean, they'll get good again. They weren't good this year, but they'll get good again. They will. I believe in them. I think Joe Sakic will be a very good influence in the front office of the Avalanche, and I think they'll get a lot better. They'll definitely be a playoff team in a couple years. And now we have one other set of playoffs going on. And this is probably one everyone's more excited about just because basketball is a more popular sport. And obviously that's the NBA Finals. Well, not I keep saying Finals, but it's not the Finals. Not yet, at least. This is also in the conference semifinals. And we have Chicago versus Atlanta, the Lakers versus the Dallas Mavericks, Oklahoma City, who beat Denver. That sucks. Versus the Memphis Grizzlies, who upset San Antonio, which was awesome. Then we have the Miami Heat versus the Boston Celtics. Now, Atlanta and Chicago, I'm surprised that Atlanta won that game one. Chicago was... They weren't dominant in their opening series, but I mean... It's Chicago. They got D-Rose, they got Boozer, they got Noah. They're an awesome team. I think they should win this series. They're winning 28-22 in the second quarter in game two currently. And, I mean, I think they'll win the series. I think Chicago will win. I have them winning. I actually have them winning it all, but I don't know why they're struggling so much. They didn't play amazing versus the Pacers, which is really surprising since the Pacers aren't even that good. It was surprising they even made the playoffs. And then they're struggling against the Hawks. The Hawks are at least a good team. I mean, you can't go bad with Al Horford. Al Horford from Florida, Joakim Noah's teammate from the back-to-back national championships a few years ago. I mean, Atlanta's a great team. They really are. I think they'll definitely have continued success over the next few years, but this year it just seems like it's the Bulls' year. D. Rose is the MVP. Boozer is getting back on track. Noah is just being Noah. I mean, the Bulls are a really, really good team, and I'd be really surprised if Atlanta pulled the upset in this series. I mean, I love upsets, so I'd love to see it, but I don't think it'll happen. I think Chicago will fight back out of their early 1-0 hole, and they will end up winning this series. Now, Dallas versus the Lakers. That is a good series. Very good. I think the Lakers are aging. Other than Andrew Bynum, of course. Andrew Bynum is like their youngest player. Excuse me. And I think that the Lakers will lose to Dallas. Dallas is a little bit younger. They got a little bit more spring in their step. And I really like Dirk Nowitzki and Jason Kidd as a team. They've been doing great ever since Kidd came over from, I think, the Nets. Yeah, I think it was the Nets. It was a few years ago. I can't totally remember. And they've been a great team ever since. And Dallas has had success to show that. The Lakers are really banking on Kobe and Lamar Odom. And it's pretty much riding on Kobe. So if Kobe gets hurt, I kind of think the Lakers are screwed. I don't think Kobe will get hurt. Kobe will fight through anything in the playoffs. Kobe is a very good basketball player. I totally respect him. I just don't like his team. So I think the Lakers will lose the series. I think Dallas, who has an early 1-0 lead, I think this series will definitely go at least 6 or 7, but I think Dallas will win out in this series. Now, Oklahoma City and Memphis, that is a really good series. Oklahoma City is coming off a 4-1 series win over Denver, and Memphis is coming off a 4-1 series win over the number 1 seed. Memphis is the 8th seed in the West, and they beat San Antonio, who is the 1 seed. That doesn't happen very often. I mean, it happened a couple years ago with Golden State. But before that, it hadn't happened for like 30 years. The fact that it actually happened this year, I didn't think Memphis... I thought Memphis was bringing a bunch of hype in, saying that they wanted the Spurs. They thought that it's believed that they lost games in the regular season just so they could play the Spurs in the playoffs because they thought they could beat them. I don't know if that's true. It could be true, could not be true. But the fact that they actually did go out there and beat them was, oh my goodness, amazing. It's something that you don't usually see. Now, an 8-1 is probably an equivalent of a 12 or lower seed beating a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. That's how big of an upset this is. This doesn't happen. Like, ever. And Memphis did it. Oklahoma City has got Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, and seeing as they score 30 points a night and they play defense, they do. I definitely could see Oklahoma City and Memphis going to 7. They're tied 1-1 in their series already. I could see this going to 7, and it's a toss-up who wins this series. I really think it is. It could even end up being an overtime game in Game 7 or, like, a last-second possession where Kevin Durant for Oklahoma City or Rudy Gay for Memphis or Marc Gasol for Memphis, one of them gets the ball and just gets a layup or something and puts it in. Maybe a deep three for Durant. I mean, you in the NBA Finals, playoffs, excuse me, you never know. I think Oklahoma City, I think they'll probably win that Game 7. Looking at the series, I feel like that's going to happen. And then we have Miami and Boston. This is surprising me. The Heat are up 2-0 in their series on the Celtics, in a series that the Heat have thoroughly, thoroughly dominated. Like, this has been shocking, to say the least. Boston owned Miami in the season series. Miami only won once, I believe. I mean, the fact that Miami can come into this series and just be as dominant as they've been, I'm liking it. I don't totally like Miami that much. I hate the big three concept. Like, having LeBron James take his talents to South Beach, I hated that. And then how they just had that little show, like, the next day where they came up on hydraulic lifts with all the smoke and stuff. I absolutely hated that. I don't like how much hype this team has. It just doesn't feel like a team should be able to... I don't feel like a team should be able to stack itself that much. But it's not up to me. It's up to the players and the front offices of the teams to give them the money, and who cares after that? I mean, I think based on the last two games, Miami will come out of this series against Boston. Based on the last two games, and I originally had Boston beat Miami. I had them eating up, but I had Boston winning the series. But I'm changing that now just after those past two games. I think Miami is very talented. I really do. And I think their big three will beat up on the Celtics' big four. And end the Celtics' season here in the conference semifinals. And then the Heat will go on and play the Bulls. That'll be a great series. I think the Bulls will come out of that series. They'll win that in 6 or 7 and go on to the finals. And then I think Dallas and Oklahoma City will play in the Western Finals. And Oklahoma City should win that series. That's definitely a series winnable for Oklahoma City. And then I think D. Rose will out-duel Kevin Durant. And the Chicago Bulls will go on to be the 2011 NBA champions. And, I mean, it's exciting to see these playoff series because most of them are extremely good. I'm going to take another break, play some more music, and I'd love to hear your predictions on the NHL or the NBA Finals. Who do you think is going to win? Tell me your thoughts. Call into 1-888-212-KLIK. That's 1-888-212-5545.
Click. Radio.org.